This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. There'll be another big-budget comic book movie in theaters this weekend, Spider-Man Homecoming. The estimated $175 million movie features a new Spidey, played by actor Tom Holland. This Peter Parker is younger, and the story is way more Ferris Bueller than Dark Knight.
So to become an Avenger, are there like trials or an interview?
Do me a favor. Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? Just stay close to the ground.
You're the Spider-Man from YouTube.
It's the take of two of the writers credited on the film, Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daley. They join me now. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
So first question, John, why do we need a new Spider-Man movie?
Why? Well, because there has been an appetite for a different kind of superhero, and that even pertains to the earlier versions of Spider-Man that people have seen. Unlike every other superhero that you see, this is one that is insecure, very much a teenager with all the angst that comes with it, and they just want to belong. And he doesn't figure everything out by the second act and become a brooding adult who has, you know, the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's still a kid, and he wants to take advantage of the fact that he has superpowers.
This was the first Marvel movie that kind of had to justify its existence in a way. Up till now, they were usually breaking new ground, putting new actors in the roles. This was one, it's been done five times before in two different incarnations. And so we came in feeling that sense of like, okay, how can we reinvent this? What have we seen? Let's make a checklist of all the things you've seen in all the other movies, and let's not do those. Let's not have him swing by web through Manhattan. There's not a scene in this movie where that happens.
Let's not have him sit at the top of the Empire State Building thinking about how hard his life is.
And let's not do Uncle Ben's death again, because everybody knows, yes, it's a sad backstory, but we don't have to revisit it.
What was it like for you guys to sort of think back to your teenage angsty years? Or were you perfectly cool and
we're
amazing?
We're always in touch with that angst. It runs through everything.
Yeah, we've never grown out of it. Well, personally, I was on a show called Freaks and Geeks that very much dealt with teen angst, and I was living through my character the angst that I felt growing up, and also being the youngest cast member on the show, and what, you know, how that made me an outcast even in the context of the high school show that I was filming. So I could certainly tap into that, and I still feel it now. And I know it was similar for Jonathan, who was also on Freaks and Geeks. No,
I was not. I wish I was.
I noticed there are six credited writers on the movie. How did that work?
I mean, it's very much on par with how Marvel operates a lot of the time. There are so many moving parts, and there's such a rush to get these movies produced, because they slate them before they even make them. So they know when the movie's coming out, and it's just a race to the finish line.
What is the timing of something like this, Jonathan? Talk me through the sort of the race to the finish line.
Well, we came on, what was it, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Almost exactly 2 years ago. And
no script at that point?
Nothing.
No, nothing.
Nothing but some ideas. And then we got the job. We spent about 6 weeks in a room with Marvel executives and the director. They're already guys working on what they call previs, which is people sitting at computers basically and doing CG mock-ups of what scenes will be like even before we've written them to some extent. They know we're going to have a scene in a cargo plane. So they start
coming up
with...
They're working on the airplane.
Yeah. It's a hugely collaborative effort. So if you go into a thing like it's going to be my baby, you're going to be disappointed because it's not going to be 100% anyone's baby. There's just too many moving parts.
Something else interesting about this project is you have two studios involved here. You have Sony, you have Marvel, owned by Disney. How did that factor in, John, into the process itself?
It was a very copacetic relationship between the two of them. I know, you know, Sony had owned Spider-Man wholly up until this moment, and they knew that it had to change just fundamentally. And Marvel had proven themselves as being really good at...
They know how to do the comic book movie.
Yeah, I mean, no one's better than them. And they know also what audiences want and what audiences are tired of. Sony had to relent and just kind of let them do their own thing, which I think ultimately helped.
Now, were you guys noted to death, Jonathan, though, just because there were so many executives involved here?
There was a lot of... There was, like I said, collaborative process.
A.K.A. noted to death.
Noted to death. Yeah, I think that, you know, everybody has pretty specific ideas of what they hope it will be. There's a lot of cooks and you're trying to please a lot of different kind of bosses.
And do you guys have to think about merchandising, too, as you're writing this? Is that something that's a piece of this because it's such an important part of the money side of this?
Are you calling us sellouts? What do you mean? This is a work of art.
We are on Marketplace right
now. Yeah, you knew it was coming.
Exactly. Yes, and it can be difficult to figure out a way to incorporate said merchandise into the product without it feeling, you know, shilly.
Sometimes it's easy, like the Audi.
They wanted
the bully, the rich bully in school to be driving an Audi, whatever. And there's like
done.
We knew we needed a sports car.
we didn't get anything for that.
No. Maybe we will from this interview. I won't get into specifics of it because I don't know, you know, how much I can say. But there was a product that a company wanted to endorse through the movie that would be a toy. And we were asked if there was a way to incorporate that toy in very naturally as like a gadget that Peter Parker used. And it was tough and strange.
We felt dirty.
Did you do it?
A little dirty.
Did we? I think we said no. I think we were like, well,
we held the line. And then they had the next writer do it.
Oh, exactly.
So it will still be there, but we don't have to blame you guys for it.
I think so. Yeah, very much.
Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, co-writers on Spider-Man Homecoming. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.